Happy early New Year's, friends. On today's Locked On NHL, we're going to talk about some of the latest goings on around the league. We've got the Winter Classic coming up, and we'll look ahead to the full weekend slate of games.
Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the Friday edition of Locked On NHL. I am Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. I'm here with Gil Martin of Locked On Isles. You can find him on Twitter at IceWarsNYI versus NYR. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We are free and available on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also watch us over on YouTube. How you doing, Gil?
I am good. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Are you a resolution kind of guy?
Yeah, I've done that a few times. Yeah. How about you?
Sometimes. I think I've recently stopped doing them as much just because it sets yourself up for failure and disappointment. But I like to, you know, just have little things. And I think, you know, this year I do want to do a hockey New Year's resolution for myself. I think for me, my resolution is to stop getting caught up in the day-to-day ups and downs about how the team is doing and just try and look at the big picture.
That's a good one. Not always easy to do when you're doing a daily podcast, but yeah.
Sure.
but I like that. I like that a lot. New Year's resolution, hockey related. You know, I think for me, it's just to gain a little bit more of an appreciation for how good these players that we watch game in and game out really are. And, you know, you think about a player who's struggling even, and you know, you realize this is one of the 1,000 best hockey players in the world that you're watching playing not so well relatively, but just how skilled these players are. And you know, for someone like me, I've been a fan dating back to the 70s, and you know, the game is faster and the players are in better shape and coached better than they were when I started watching the game. And just the overall skill level is so impressive, and I want to appreciate that a little bit more in the new year. How talented and dedicated these players really are, and how much fun it is to watch them.
That is a really good attitude to have going into it, especially
that's the goal.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard, like you said, when you're doing a daily show and you think about that boneheaded play some guy did, but they're still one of the top players to play the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just try to appreciate what we're watching.
Will do. I don't know about you, Gil, but this week has felt like a full year of hockey and the news with, you know, World Juniors getting canceled. They changed the COVID protocols. They brought taxi squads back. It just feels like everything has happened this week.
Yeah, it does. And look, unfortunately, you know, the NHL and sports are a microcosm of our society in a lot of ways. And the whole country and the whole world is dealing with Omicron and how quickly it spreads. And hopefully the league will find a way to safely play these games and finish an 82-game season. That is certainly a big hope. The Winter Classic is set to go off this weekend, so a big event to look forward to. And, you know, the taxi squad thing is tough because it really kind of puts a player in limbo where, you know, they may not be able to play every day. They may not be able to practice always with the team because you want to keep the guys on the taxi squad separate. So if COVID goes through the locker room, they don't also get it. So,
right.
You know, it's sort of a tough situation for a lot of players to be in, but At the same time, hopefully it's a tool that will help the NHL finish more games and stop postponing them, because a lot of teams are going to be squeezing a lot of games into a lot of places late in this season. It's going to be interesting to see how that falls out.
Yeah, we should be hearing about some of the rescheduling in a couple weeks, so we'll keep an eye out for that. But we did, you know, have some hockey, and the league marches on. And I think for me, one of the bigger stories this week is the Carolina Hurricanes, where it just felt like maybe they were a little off for a while, but they seem to have righted the ship. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They have a 3-game win streak. Sebastian Aho is on fire. He's got multiple points in his last 6 games. And, you know, they blanked the Montreal Canadiens last night 4-0. Appropriately so, right? You know, they're winning in the way they should be. And I think that's good for them.
I think it's very good, and now they are back in first place in the Metropolitan Division, tied in points with the Capitals, but they've got 2 games in hand. And, you know, it's going to be, to me right now, the top 4 teams in that Metropolitan Division, that's going to be a battle for the whole rest of the season. And it's, you know, right now you got to ride those hot streaks, because Carolina – is going to be in a dogfight. But I like the way this team is playing. And I still think, you know, the Hurricanes are one of those teams that doesn't get as much respect from the national media. Maybe it's because they're, you know, not an original six or even second six team. They're not in a traditional market. They're not going to get a lot of media attention. But I'll tell you, when they're playing the way they're playing, they deserve a lot more attention.
One of these days, we'll get my anti-original six rant on this show. Speaking of streaks, we saw an end to one for Vancouver. Bruce Boudreau with his first loss after a 7-game win streak as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, still picked up a point, so all is not lost. But look, you knew that you weren't going to win every game on the rest of their schedule. To me, the big thing about Vancouver, and you know, they're sort of right on the cusp of moving up in the standings in the Pacific Division. But the question is the spark they had under Bruce Boudreau, you know, going on that win streak and now the point streak is still alive. Is this the new Vancouver Canucks? Is this what this team is capable of, or was that a short-term jolt that, you know, they got a little inspired under a new coach, felt free and just played better temporarily, and then they're going to go back and regress to the below 500 team that started the season? So the next few games, I think, for Vancouver are going to be pivotal. I always liked and respected Bruce Boudreau, and I think he'll help turn this team around. I think they'll fight for a playoff spot in that Pacific Division the rest of the way, in my opinion. I just think they've got enough talent on that team and now a very, very good coach.
Yeah, they do. It's been remarkable what they've been able to do over the last stretch of games. And I think you're right that we should temper expectations a little bit, but I think that when you have a streak like this that's positive, you can build on that, even if you have, you know, small setbacks every now and again.
Yeah, no one's going 82-0-0.
No. Well, the Minnesota Wild decided they had confidence in their coach. They extended Dean Evason's contract. He has been with the team for like 2.5 seasons, I guess.
Yep.
62-29-7 record. Right now the Wild are 6-3-1 in their last 10. They're tied with the Avs for the top spot, points percentage-wise, in the Central right now. And I'm always intrigued by mid-season coach extensions, especially because you look at the Wild's playoff results over the last couple of years, and it's not been super, but it does feel like this team is slightly better than that of the last couple years. And I think that they have a good system in place that they never look completely lost out there, you know? So I think this is a good move for the Wild, and I do think that they will go further this year.
I think they have all the pieces in place to do it. And I think that, you know, the coach maximizes the talent on this roster pretty well. I am also a little bit wary of mid-season coaching extensions. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting that even though they're 6-3-1 in their last 10, they've lost 4 in a row right now. So not too many coaches get an extension while they're on a losing streak. But, you know, overall, the season and the – I like the fact that the Minnesota Wild are looking at the big picture and not – just focusing in on, okay, well, we're 0-3-1 in our last 4 games, so this isn't the time to do that. This team,
just like my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, exactly. This team has a plan, and they see where Iveson fits into it, and they're sticking with it. And you know, I like that philosophy for the franchise. So I think this is a good move. And we're going to see some good hockey from the Minnesota Wild in the second half of the season.
Well, before we take a quick break and go to our Winter Classic discussion, just a couple other quick notes, and one that's very selfish for me personally. But on the downside, man, really tough to see Max Pacioretty out. He had wrist surgery. He's, you know, out of the Vegas lineup indefinitely, and that's going to be a tough blow for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, Pacioretty's a darn good hockey player, fun to watch, and they're going to miss him in the lineup. And you know, Vegas does have a lot of depth. They will be able to pick up some of the slack, but you're always going to miss a player like Max Pacioretty.
Indeed. But on the upside, for me personally, my Flyers captain, Claude Giroux, hit a couple of milestones on Wednesday versus the Seattle Kraken. He is now second all-time on the Flyers scoring list. He's got 883 points in, now it's 904 games played. And he also got his 600th and 601st assist.
Well, congratulations to Claude Giroux. I've been watching him play for a long time, and you never want to face him. He's a talented hockey player, good leader as well, and past Bill Barber, you had said when we were talking before the show, which is you know, pretty high company. Bill Barber, an excellent hockey player back in the day, so great congratulations to Claude Giroux on that milestone. And how far off is he from being number one?
Oh, Bobby Clark's like, I think 200 and some points.
Okay, so.
Above him. It's a tough road. It's possible, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, I had to ask.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about some of our hockey New Year's resolutions, and, you know, a lot of people make theirs about getting fit or eating healthier, and the perfect thing to include in that plan is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, and they make it so much easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because Built Bars taste so good, you'll just want to eat them versus other protein bars, which sometimes can be chalky or taste like chemicals. You want to eat healthy, but it gets so boring. But Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. You can throw out all your sugary or calorie-filled treats and replace them with Built Bars. Your typical Built Bar has about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but also 17 grams of protein. They have so many delicious flavors to choose from. You've got coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, salted caramel, but so many more. They're always coming out with new flavors. So check out built.com to see what they've got in stock. And while you're there, go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Once again, thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts like us. Listen to Locked On Now on your favorite podcasting platform, or you can watch it on YouTube. Gil, it's the Winter Classic time, heading out into the great outdoors tomorrow, Saturday. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the Winter Classic and the history. First off, do you think the Winter Classic is still a special event?
It's not as special as it was, I think, when it first started. The novelty factor was huge, but now it's sort of into that stage where it's a tradition. And the thing I love about the Winter Classic is this. Before the Winter Classic, like, there was no one day on the sports calendar that, like, hockey had to itself. Like, you know, New Year's Day used to be College Bowl Day, and the Super Bowl every year is the day for the NFL, and the NBA has Christmas. Well, now New Year's Day hockey with the Winter Classic has sort of set out this little niche for itself where the sports world knows there's a big hockey game outdoors on that day every year. And that's sort of, you know, for the NHL, which is always fourth out of the four major sports in popularity, to have that little beachhead of a day where the sports world turns and focuses a little bit on an event for the NHL. I like that. I think that's a really good thing for the league right now.
I do too. And I like that they've sort of scaled back the other outdoor games a little bit just to keep the focus on the Winter Classic a little bit more. I think that was the right move. And, it's still nice to see, you know, people, you know, often when it's in a bigger stadium, you know, just seeing that size of a crowd watching hockey is especially exciting, I think, for NHL fans.
Yeah, I mean, I remember covering one of the outdoor games when the Islanders played the Rangers at Yankee Stadium, and it was an event. It really was. I mean, the thing is, depending on how the weather works out and the quality of the ice, that can affect the quality of play if the ice is – if it's too warm or, you know, slushy out there. But it could also be so beautiful, like when it snowed in Buffalo. That was like, wow, you know, it just sort of takes your breath away. So to me, it's a great experience. To be in one of those buildings was a great experience. You do get really cold, and it's going to be very cold in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And playing at night doesn't help. But it's one of those things where, you know, you could tell people, hey, I was there. And this was the experience. And 20 years from now, you'll still be saying, hey, I attended a Winter Classic, and it's a special event. And I agree with you. Keeping the other outdoor games minimized was a good move. You don't want them to become too common. Sometimes less is more. And I like the idea that the league did that.
Yeah, I've attended three Winter Classics and two additional outdoor games, so five of them total, and I've loved it every time. So I think for me, you mentioned the one in Buffalo against the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2008. That was the first Winter Classic with the snow. That was definitely one of my favorite ones that they've put on, just because the atmosphere, it was new, and just the weather, it was perfect. Even the game wasn't that great, but it was actually, but it was just so new that I think, you know, it sticks in people's minds. For me, my other favorite one was the one at Fenway in 2010 with the Flyers and Bruins. There was a fight in that one. It went to OT, and, you know, that was actually my first time ever at Fenway. So oh, wow. I actually saw a hockey game at Fenway before I saw a baseball game there, which is kind of weird. But do you have any personal favorites?
Oh, boy. I'll go back to the first one, I think. But, you know, the other thing is this, the venues that they've had some of these games at, you know, mm-hmm. Notre Dame Stadium, you mentioned Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, you know, the big house in Ann Arbor where they had 100,000 people.
Right.
I love the idea of having non-traditional hockey venues, but famous and really great venues, having the game there and the enthusiasm of the crowd, the different uniforms add to the atmosphere a little bit. There's a sort of, some of them have been hideous, some of them have been really good, but either way, you know, you're like, wait, they're wearing what? You know, or wow, look at those. They look great. But it just adds to the atmosphere, makes it more special. And it's an event and I love it. I really do. And it takes, if you grew up playing hockey, it takes you back to your roots. A lot of people grew up playing pond hockey and being outdoors. Even for me, playing street hockey outdoors in January and February and December. So I just, you know, there's something pure about it, and I really like that.
I think, you know, in terms of favorite Winter Classic moments, for me, it has to be the Corey Perry Walk of Shame in the Cotton Bowl in 2020. I mean, that was just peak comedy, but it could not have happened to a better guy, right?
Big Corey Perry fan, I see, but yeah. Yeah, no, there have been some really nice moments. A couple of the early games went to shootouts, if I recall, and that was pretty exciting also. So, the Winter Classic is fun, and it's great for hockey.
So we will get to this Winter Classic happening tomorrow in a moment. We're going to talk about the weather, like you referred to, the jerseys, so much other stuff, and some of the other games taking place that day and the weekend ahead. But first, we are going to hear from our sponsor at Bet Online.
Indeed we are, and this episode is brought to you by your friends at Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season, so head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use your promo code LOCKEDON, that's locked on, one word, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the new year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So this Winter Classic, we've got the Minnesota Wild hosting the St. Louis Blues. And yeah, it's going to be a cold one. As of recording, I checked the weather. It's going to be a high of -2 that day. And it's playing at night, so it's going to be a little bit colder than that. They've got about 10 mile an hour winds. I don't know. Those fans who go to that game, I am super impressed with your fortitude.
or they should be locked up, but you know. But yeah, I mean, the outdoor game that I was at, I think it was about 25 degrees at Yankee Stadium that day, and even though there wasn't a lot of wind, you felt whatever little bit of wind there was. To have it at minus whatever, I don't care. Well, once you get into the minuses.
Yeah, and that's Fahrenheit, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I went to school in Michigan. I know what cold is, but you feel minus. There's a different feeling in the air. But I'll tell you, the fans in Minnesota, they're hardy. They know cold weather, obviously. And like I said, this is one of those things you could tell your kids and your grandkids about. And yeah, it's a little crazy to be out there, but it's also a lot of fun.
So this is the first Winter Classic that'll be broadcast on TNT. And given their sense of whimsy, I think that, you know, looking at what they could do against maybe kind of the staleness of what the NBC broadcast has been for it over the last couple of years, I'm actually looking forward to seeing if they put a different twist on it.
I think they will. I think they'll sort of find a way to spice it up a little bit. And yeah, I sort of like the attitude that TNT is trying to bring to the broadcast. It's still a work in progress, but I'm enjoying the change over to TNT and ESPN this year.
Same. And, you know, you also mentioned that the game is at 7 p.m. You know, in the past, they wanted to have it in the afternoon for the sun and, you know, the spectacle of it all. But they quickly learned over the years that the ice is actually better if you do it at night. So I'm glad they just scheduled it at 7 p.m. to start off with.
Although in Minnesota, that may be the one time it may not be necessary. you do it in Arizona. Yeah. but in Minnesota, it may not be necessary to have it at night, because it's if it's -4 or -12, either way the ice will be fine.
Yes. What do you think of the jerseys this year?
You know, not bad. Overall, I think they're pretty good. I'm not the best, not the worst, though. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Blues have, you know, played enough outdoor games that they just want it to look classic at this point, like slightly retro, but classic. And so I think they did a good job with that. And I think the Blues jerseys are one of the most underappreciated in the league in terms of design and style anyway. I love that note design. And so I think they did a good job. Minneapolis, for the Wild, they kind of went to this old school look from way back in the day. And I think it's a love it or hate it kind of jersey, because it doesn't really look like the Wild at all. But I think, you know, they swung big, and I think a lot of people really love it.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And look, you want something a little bit different, especially when you're hosting for the first time outdoors. So yeah, bring it. Yeah, it's for one game anyway.
Right. So one of the things that they've done over the past couple of years is started to add additional games in the NHL on that day. And, you know, I think there's actually a game at the same time as the Winter Classic even. And they have a full slate of games. I was wondering how you felt about that in terms of pulling focus from the Winter Classic.
Yeah, I kind of think that it's not the best idea to have. I can understand. The problem is, if you're playing it on it happens to fall on a Saturday night. And I think that's the main reason they did it this way, because Saturday night is such a big night for so many teams. It's their traditional home game. So that to me is the reason they overlapped it. But I think, in general, they should at least, that time slot should be cleared out so that the eyes of the league can focus on the big event. And, you know, it's okay to have other games that day, but I would leave it, you know, that time slot more or less open.
I think with the game scheduled at 7 p.m., it was good that they have some afternoon games so you can, you know, make a day of it. And watch, you know, two games back to back. I think watching three games back to back might be a bit much, but I'm going to try. in the afternoon, there's a couple of good matchups, I think. Carolina versus Columbus. We talked about how Carolina has had a resurgence. Columbus recently won against Nashville. And I think they've been playing pretty evenly. So I'm very curious to see how those match up in the Metro division. Also Chicago, Nashville, which is always a fun game.
Yeah, that's a good rivalry game in the Central. And I, you know, Nashville's been playing pretty well lately. It'd be interesting to see if Chicago can get them off their hot streak.
And after the Winter Classic, I will, of course, be watching Flyers Kings, because that's what I do. But yeah, so they do have two games in the late night slot. So if you want to watch, you know, a whole slate of games that day, you can. It would be a fun day.
Yeah, you know, the big game that I think may take away from some of the ratings for the Winter Classic is Ottawa-Toronto, which is on at the exact same time. And that's going to take away a lot of the Canadian audience, theoretically. But, you know, to not have the Maple Leafs play a Saturday night home game, you know, that's tradition.
It is. And I think you're right in terms of the ratings. We'll see if that, you know, pulls away, especially because the Winter Classic teams are American teams. So, you know, Hockey Night in Canada will be focused on that Toronto-Ottawa matchup.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? TNT is more worried about the American eyes on the screen than Canadian. So, you know, may not be that that important to the network, at least.
Yeah. I think as far as, you know, other games that weekend, that there's an interesting home and home with the New York Rangers and Tampa. So it starts in Tampa tonight on Friday and then at MSG on Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a good matchup. You have the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions and then a Rangers team that has surprised a few people with how well that they've been playing this year. And it, to me, that's a big barometer, two games for the New York Rangers. If they can get 3 points out of four from that weekend, I think they'd have to feel extremely good about themselves.
They do. And, you know, I think it'll make for some chippy hockey, which I always love when it's, you know, a rivalry in the making, I think, like that.
Yeah, and I love a good rivalry game. Always have, always will.
I think that'll do it for today's show and for the year in Locked On NHL. Thank you so much for listening or watching all year long, and hope you'll be along with us in 2022. Gil, you'll be back on Monday, right?
I will be back on Monday with three local experts breaking down the biggest stories from around the league. So looking forward to that and looking forward to being here with you again next Friday.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter at @rmiriam. Gil, where can people find you?
It's at Ice Wars NYR VS NYI.
Have a happy new year, everybody. Have a great weekend. And, you know, you just listened to Locked On NHL. Now make your next listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. It's hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.